Welcome to the Deep Dive. We are really thrilled to have you here today.
Yeah, it is great to be here and dig into this one.
Because if you're joining us, you're probably the kind of person who likes to be ahead of the curve, you know, someone who really values knowing exactly how the gears of the future are turning.
Absolutely.
And today we've got something incredibly special. We are looking at a highly confidential internal R&D document.
Which is pretty rare for us to get our hands on.
Very rare. And when I say internal, I mean we are looking at a single source of truth, or an SSOT, directly from the Robotics and Cybernetics Division over at Derticular.
The date stamped on this document is actually exactly today.
March 10th, 2026.
It is genuinely rare to get a look at this level of unreleased product strategy. I mean, we are essentially peering behind the curtain into the alpha prototype phase of a piece of hardware that, well, it could redefine a lot of industries.
The product is called the Sovereign Helping Hand.
Yeah, the internal SKU is SOV RoboHand.
Right, SOV RoboHand. It's described as an alpha prototype six-axis industrial robotic manipulator. Now, the mission for our deep dive today is to really figure out how the concept of digital sovereignty is leaping out of the server rack.
And into the physical world.
Exactly. The dirty world of actual labor. Because usually when we talk about sovereignty, we're talking about software, data privacy, encryption, that sort of thing.
But this document takes those concepts and applies them to a literal metal arm.
Which is wild. And we want to explore why this matters to you. Because whether you are an autonomous farmer managing fields out in the middle of nowhere, or a technician running an off-grid solar setup.
Or honestly, just a tech enthusiast who's completely exhausted by hardware that refuses to work without a mandatory cloud connection.
Yes, exactly. This document is a massive paradigm shift. Okay, let's unpack this. What exactly is the fundamental philosophy driving this hardware?
Well, to understand the philosophy, we really have to look at the executive summary of this document. Up until this point, Derticular has really mastered digital sovereignty. They've built this entire ecosystem where your data is yours, it's processed locally, and it is entirely secured from outside interference. But the bottleneck in that ecosystem has always been the physical world.
Because at the end of the day, someone still has to physically plug in the cable.
Precisely. I mean,
Yeah.
if a wire needs to be rerouted or a crop needs to be physically harvested, that beautiful, secure digital architecture suddenly hits a wall.
It still requires a biological hand to do the dirty work.
Exactly. And the Sovereign Helping Hand is designed to bridge that exact gap between digital logic and physical labor. DeReticular is essentially stripping away the proprietary cloud-based firmware that you find in almost all modern robotics today.
So we are looking at a fundamental shift where industrial-grade physical manipulation is brought entirely under local control.
Yes. No mandatory subscription fees, no phoning home to a corporate server in some massive data center.
It's physical labor that is completely decentralized and
It
privatized.
really is.
I love geeking out over the bill of materials for things like this. The hardware specs here, the actual muscle of this robot, are just fascinating. Let's talk about what the end user is actually getting.
We should. The build quality alone is impressive.
Yeah, first off, the document states this is an aerospace-grade aluminum six-axis arm, and the MSRP is listed at $2,899.
For an industrial manipulator, that seems highly competitive.
It is remarkably competitive, especially considering it includes their custom open claw interface adapter.
But what stands out even more is that it's built to survive in the wild. The document specifies an IP67 rating for dust and water resistance.
Meaning you can basically blast it with a hose or leave it out in a dust storm.
Yes, this isn't some fragile desktop toy for a sterile lab. It is specifically designed to be bolted to the outside of a vehicle or left mounted on a pole in an agricultural field.
Which brings us to how you actually power the thing. It runs on a 12-volt to 48-volt DC direct input.
And if you manage an off-grid system, you know exactly how useful that range is.
Oh, absolutely. It means it's natively compatible with standard solar charge controllers. Or you could even wire it directly to a curb car EV bus.
But the detail that really caught my eye as a huge safety win for off-grid users is the battery situation.
Right. There are absolutely no internal lithium-ion batteries inside the arm itself.
That is a brilliant design choice for remote deployments. I mean, lithium-ion batteries degrade, they swell in extreme summer heat, and they introduce a significant fire risk.
Oh, yeah. Nobody wants the spicy pillow of a battery catching fire in a remote shed miles from anywhere.
Exactly. By removing them entirely, DeReticular removes a massive point of failure and liability. You just supply the power from your own stable, managed battery bank.
Makes total sense. Now, regarding the mechanics of the arm itself, the document mentions the actuators use high-torque brushless DC motors, but it places a heavy emphasis on the fact that they utilize absolute magnetic encoders.
Yes.
Can we break down why that is so important?
Absolutely. So think about traditional robotic arms. When they lose power and reboot, they often have to go through a calibration routine.
Like a little dance.
Right. Moving their joints around to find their physical limits before they actually know where they are in physical space. Absolute magnetic encoders eliminate that need entirely.
I was reading about this, and the best analogy I could think of is waking up in the pitch darkness of your bedroom. You can't see a single thing, but if you reach out to grab your alarm clock, you still know exactly where your arm is, right?
That is a perfect analogy.
Because your brain natively knows the position of your limbs without needing visual confirmation.
That is exactly what these encoders do for the robot. Even if the power is completely severed, say someone accidentally kicks the main power cable or a solar array trips when that arm boots back up, it retains total positional awareness.
So it doesn't need to flail around or perform a dangerous recalibration routine in a cramped server room.
No, it just inherently knows its exact posture.
What's wild to me is how DeReticular is actually sourcing these things. The document outlines a deployment workflow, specifically phase one, which they call fulfillment.
Yes, the fulfillment phase.
I just assumed they were milling the aerospace aluminum from scratch in some massive DeReticular factory.
What's fascinating here is that they aren't. They are leveraging existing global supply chains to keep that price point under $3,000.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they receive base robotic arms from original equipment manufacturers, or OEMs, over in Shenzhen. These raw factory standard units arrive at DeReticular's Node 3 workshop.
Okay.
And then they initiate a process the R&D document literally calls the brainwashing.
The brainwashing. You really have to appreciate the dramatic flair of engineers when they get to name their own internal processes.
It is a great name.
But what does that actually entail? Are they just flashing new software onto it?
It is much more aggressive than that.
Yeah.
The technicians physically open up these factory arms and gut the OEM Wi-Fi modules and cloud controller boards.
What?
They completely and physically remove the original brain. Then they take a custom DeReticular RS-485 adapter and solder it directly to the motor driver bus.
Wait, RS-485, that's a really old school hardwired serial communication standard, isn't it?
It is. And that is the poetic engineering of this entire project. RS-485 doesn't know what the internet is. It doesn't understand Wi-Fi or cloud packets.
So by physically soldering that connection directly to the motors, the arm is rendered entirely deaf and blind to the cloud.
Yes. It is physically incapable of connecting to the internet or taking orders from an external corporate server. It can only receive local serial commands from a paired DeReticular node.
It is the ultimate hardware firewall. You are literally severing its vocal cords to the outside world.
Exactly.
So that's the hardware muscle. But let's talk about the motor cortex. If we stripped out the original brain, how does this thing actually know how to move? The document mentions it ships with a high-friction two-finger parallel gripper. But there are swappable end effectors like precision tweezers, a macro camera mount, or a soldering iron.
Right. Something has to control all of that.
Exactly.
That control comes from local compute. It runs something called the OpenClaw Kinematics image natively on the Sovereign Sentry Pro's processor, specifically an i3-N305.
So it's doing all the heavy math right there on the local machine.
Entirely locally.
Yeah.
Translating a high-level command like pick up the object into raw motor voltages requires something called an inverse kinematics solver.
Which sounds complicated.
It is complex calculus required to figure out exactly how to move six different joints simultaneously to get the gripper to a specific XYZ coordinate in 3D space.
And instead of offloading that math to a data center, the Sentry Pro just handles it.
Yes. And it uses a vision-to-grip API, which acts as a secure software bridge, connecting the arm with the Sentry node's existing LiDAR or camera feeds, usually running through their Vault Warden or hemp-grade AI stacks.
Here's where it gets really interesting. The document doesn't just list specs. It outlines three specific operational use cases.
And these scenarios paint such a vivid picture of how this technology actually changes the game for you out in the real world.
Let's dive into use case A, the AgBot harvester.
This scenario is a perfect example of physical labor merging with sovereign data. It involves a farmer utilizing a Nomad fleet kit mounted on a mobile agricultural rover.
So picture this rugged little rover slowly rolling through a field of crops. The rover's camera is running the hemp-grade AI entirely locally on its own hardware. no cellular connection or internet required.
Right.
It's constantly scanning the plants, and suddenly the AI detects a fully mature flower or fruit. How does the arm know what to do next?
At that exact moment, the local OpenClaw agent kicks in. Using the camera data, it calculates the precise 3D coordinates of that specific plant stem.
Okay.
The sovereign helping hand smoothly extends, uses its precision gripper to hold the stem, delicately cuts it, and places the harvested crop into the rover's hopper.
It's a beautiful image of efficiency. But as I kept reading, the data side of the scenario is what absolutely blew my mind.
Because it's not just about picking a plant.
Right.
The broader implication here is staggering. The moment that physical action is completed, the system instantly mints a proof of harvest block on the Lacutus ledger.
It timestamps the exact geographic location and the spectral quality of that specific flower or fruit.
Yes. So we are looking at verifiable, immutable physical labor recorded on a cryptographic ledger.
The robot isn't just doing the work, it is independently auditing its own agricultural output.
Exactly. You don't need a human inspector to verify the harvest because the machine itself provides cryptographic proof that the labor occurred at that specific time and place.
It turns physical labor into a verifiable digital asset in real time. That is wild to think about.
It really is.
Okay, let's pivot to use case B, which is probably my favorite simply because it is so incredibly practical for anyone who has ever worked in IT. They call it the deep admin physical reboot.
This one is great.
Imagine you are managing a remote server rack. It's hours away, deep in an unstaffed facility, and it experiences a catastrophic hardware freeze. Secure shell, SSH, completely fails. You are totally locked out.
In traditional IT infrastructure management, this scenario is an absolute nightmare. It requires what the industry calls rolling a truck.
Right.
A highly paid human technician has to stop what they are doing, get in a vehicle, and drive out to the remote site for the sole purpose of pushing a plastic button.
But in this new dereticular scenario, the sovereign helping hand is already bolted directly inside the server closet. As the sysadmin, you send a secure Telegram message to the OpenClaw deep admin bot. And the command is beautifully simple. Perform physical hard reboot on server 4.
The translation of that digital text command into physical action is remarkable. The robotic arm literally wakes up in that dark server room, relies on its absolute encoders to know its position, reaches out to server 4, and physically depresses the hardware power button for 5 seconds.
It waits for the frozen system to completely power down and then extends its manipulator to press the button again to turn it back on.
It is hilarious to picture a highly advanced aerospace-grade robotic arm sitting in the pitch dark, just waiting for the moment it gets to perform the good old-fashioned IT, turn it off and turn it back on again routine.
But when you think about the hours of driving and downtime it saves, it's invaluable. And that seamlessly brings us to use case C sovereign WISP antenna alignment. This one is specifically for the off-grid mesh network operators.
Yes. The scenario presented involves a remote off-grid site equipped with Starlink dish or a mesh beacon. A severe storm rolls through and high winds physically knock the antenna out of alignment.
Suddenly, your vital network connectivity drops.
Exactly.
In a normal situation, you're hiking up a mountain to fix it. But here, the local sentry node immediately detects a drop in the signal-to-noise ratio, or SNR.
Right.
So the helping hand, which is mounted right there on the communications mast, automatically reaches up. It physically loosens the mounting bracket holding the dish, micro-adjusts the azimuth and elevation until the SNR peaks again, and then firmly retightens the bracket.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, you begin to see the true overarching value of the SOV RoboHand. We are moving far beyond simple repetitive automation into the realm of truly self-healing autonomous microgrids.
You are no longer reliant on dispatching human technicians into the wilderness to perform routine mechanical adjustments.
Exactly. The infrastructure maintains itself physically, governed entirely by sovereign, localized logic.
It gives a whole new meaning to self-correcting systems. Mm. Now, as amazing as all this sounds, bolting a powerful industrial robot to your off-grid setup or your workbench requires some serious safety consideration.
Oh, absolutely.
The document outlines the installation process for the user, and it seems fairly straightforward. Bolt it down, wire it to your battery bank, connect the data cable to your sentry node, and log in with your sovereign key to run a calibration.
But my immediate thought was, what happens when things go wrong?
Right. Thankfully, the document has a dedicated risk register, and I want us to debate the practicality of these mitigations.
Safety is paramount when you are dealing with autonomous physical mass. The very first risk identified is RKIN-01, collision or crushing.
Which is the absolute nightmare scenario. The arm calculating a movement path that directly intersects with a human operator or an expensive piece of fragile equipment.
Yeah, nobody wants a metal arm swinging into their head while they're checking a solar panel. How do they stop that?
DeReticular mitigates this by utilizing strict hardware torque limits based on established collaborative robot or cobot standards.
Okay.
This is paired continuously with the vision-to-grip camera feeds. If the arm is in motion and encounters any unexpected physical resistance whatsoever, it doesn't attempt to push through the obstacle. It immediately cuts the drive power and enters a limp safe mode.
So it basically just goes completely slack the moment it bumps into you. That is highly reassuring.
Very. The second risk is RPWR-01 power spikes. These high-torque motors can draw some serious current when they're lifting a heavy load, and if it draws too much power all at once, couldn't it brown out the sentry node entirely, taking down the brain that's controlling it?
That is a very real engineering challenge, and their solution relies on isolated power delivery. The document states the arm is wired to the DC bus via an opto-isolated relay.
Can you explain how an opto-isolated relay works for those of us who aren't electrical engineers?
Think of it as a digital moat.
Okay.
On one side, you have the delicate computer logic board. On the other side, you have the power-hungry motors. Instead of a copper wire connecting them directly, the signal is sent across a physical gap using a beam of light.
Oh, wow.
Because there is no physical electrical connection bridging that gap, a massive power surge from the motors literally cannot cross over to fry the computer's brain. Even if the motors pull maximum amperage and short out, the logic board remains perfectly stable and protected.
That is incredibly clever.
It really is.
The third risk is the one that always comes up the second you introduce networked physical hardware into the world. RSEC-01, rogue actuation. What if a bad actor manages to compromise your local network? Could a hacker take control of the arm and use it to deliberately smash your server rack or damage your crops?
This is where DeReticular's deep emphasis on cryptographic security really shines. They have implemented a strict hardware key authorization protocol. Any physical action that the system categorizes as high risk or high torque simply cannot be executed autonomously, nor could it be triggered via a simple network ping.
It requires explicit, verifiable human authorization.
Yes. So you literally have to walk up to the node and physically tap your sovereign key using NFC against the terminal to approve the movement.
Or, if you are working remotely, you have to approve it via their encrypted signal bot. The robot physically will not execute a high-risk or potentially destructive move without that cryptographic handshake from the human operator.
It acts as a mandatory, unbreakable circuit breaker for anything that could cause physical damage.
And regarding the long-term viability of the hardware, the document outlines the support and SLA structure. They are offering a one-year limited hardware warranty covering the servos and joints, provided the user adheres to the payload limits.
Plus, they are promising over-the-air, or OTA, software updates for the OpenClaw system.
But wait, if they completely gutted the Wi-Fi board during the brainwashing phase, how does this thing ever get software updates?
That is the beauty of the localized architecture. The arm itself doesn't download anything. You pull the updates securely through your internet-connected sentry node, which verifies the cryptographic signature of the update, and then pushes it down the hardwired serial cable to the arm.
Ah, I see. And these updates will refine the pathfinding algorithms and even add new pre-programmed gestures over time.
The document lists future downloadable gestures like standard solder, turn knob, and pull lever. You are essentially buying an arm that actually learns new physical skills the longer you own it.
It becomes a continually evolving toolkit for physical manipulation, entirely under your administrative control. So what does this all mean? When you take a step back and look at the sovereign helping hand in its entirety, it represents something massive.
It really does.
It is the localization and privatization of physical labor. For decades, we've had incredible industrial automation, but it was locked inside massive corporate factories, tightly tethered to multi-million-dollar proprietary cloud contracts.
DeReticular is taking that exact same industrial power, ripping out the corporate surveillance, removing the cloud dependency, and putting it directly into your hands.
It gives you the ability to automate your farm, manage your server racks, and maintain your off-grid infrastructure without ever surrendering your data or your operational control to a tech giant.
This raises an important question, and it is a profound implication that the R&D document hints at, but leaves largely unspoken for the user to ponder.
Oh my God.
We discussed the proof of harvest earlier. If our machines can now perform highly complex physical labor autonomously, if they can verify that labor entirely locally and log it immutably on a ledger like Lucidus, how long until we see entirely automated decentralized microeconomies emerge?
That is a wild trajectory to imagine.
Think about a future, perhaps only a few years away, where your solar-powered agricultural robot independently harvests a crop and then directly negotiates and trades those harvested goods with a passing autonomous delivery rover.
They settle the transaction machine to machine entirely on the ledger, completely cutting human oversight out of the economic loop.
Exactly. What happens to the human workforce and traditional human economics when off-grid robots become entirely self-sovereign economic actors, capable of earning, auditing, and spending their own generated value?
That is a staggering thought to leave you with. Imagine a farm that literally runs itself and pays its own bills. A massive thank you to you for joining us on this exploration of DeReticular's Sovereign Helping Hand document. We've journeyed all the way from the raw aluminum specs and the bizarre reality of the brainwashing to the very edges of autonomous machine-to-machine microeconomies. Keep questioning the tech you use every day, keep exploring how these hidden systems work behind the scenes, and most importantly, keep learning. Until next time, stay curious.